T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Obviously, the Warriors coming up short stings a little bit, but that was a hell of an effort from the Raptors.
Yeah, I mean, it was taking nothing away from the Raptors. I just never seen a team run into so many mishaps. You know, the Warriors are dropping like flies, but like you said, Toronto played great. Kawhi was amazing, and the Raptors are champs, so it was definitely a change. Something I didn't predict, but nevertheless, it was a fun series to watch.
What did you make of Klay Thompson in Game 6 with the resiliency to come back from the hamstring injury only to have him get cut down by the ACL? Had you ever seen Klay playing that level of inspired ball?
I mean, all those guys. You know what I mean? You start with DeMarcus tearing the quad and then doing everything he can to get back. You know, Klay hurting the hamstring, coming back, tearing his ACL and still wanting to get back on the court. He was playing at a high level. KD playing at the level he was playing at. Probably knowing he wasn't healthy, but still felt like his team needed him, and came out and ended up, you know, tearing his Achilles. So, you know, all these guys, you know, they did everything they possibly could to get back out on the court to help the team. And like I said, I just never seen a mishap of injuries like the Warriors had.
But Matt, try to define, if you can, and it's hard to do, try to define the brilliance that we've seen on the floor for the last 5 years with the Warriors.
It's hard. You know, arguably, you know, over that span of time, there hasn't been a better team over that span of time when it comes to wins and what they were able to do. Something very special. You know, obviously, they already had a great team, but I think KD made them a dynasty. And we were, you know, privy to some amazing basketball. And I think sometimes people take it for granted, you know, how tough what they actually did is to do. Fortunately, I was able to be a part of one championship and just see the chemistry and love and the way they move around in that organization, which made that team so special. So it'll be an interesting summer to see what they're able to do with, obviously, I think Klay is going back. Let's see what they're going to do with Draymond and with KD and trying to tighten up that bench a little bit. So it's going to be a fun summer all the way around for everybody.
Matt Barnes joining us here on the Dial Pad guest line. So maybe they get Klay and Kevin Durant back in the fold, but the injuries will prevent them from playing for most of, if not all of, next season. How do you think opposing teams are going to attack the Warriors next year? We were kind of trying to figure this out. Without that additional firepower, you got to figure that, similar to how Toronto defended Steph, opponents next year are going to be sending multiple waves of players at Steph next season. That could be a tough year for the former MVP.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very tough year for not only him, but the team. You know, I think Coach Kerr joked around and asked if the team as a whole can have the whole season off, which I think they need. But it's going to be a very interesting year, you know, if they're fortunate enough to re-sign both those guys. Both those guys are most likely out for the season. And still, the Warriors are still a team that people are going to want to, you know, from the stranglehold they had on the NBA for the last 5 years, people are really going to enjoy trying to tee off on them next year in the new building and the hype surrounding that. So it's going to be a long season for those guys. But, you know, it's a championship organization. I'm sure they're going to put some things together to make the team very competitive. And we'll have to see what happens.
Which of the young players can you see stepping up and not only taking on a more increased role, but performing in that role? Is it Jordan Bell or Kevon Looney, Quinn Cook, Jacob Evans? Which of these younger players, back end of the roster guys, can step in and really make an impact next year?
Well, I think guys will be able to step in, but all the guys you named aren't necessarily scorers. They're role players and just being solid in their role. I love what Looney was able to do before. You know, he was someone we didn't mention coming back from injury in the playoffs. He played very well. Jordan Bell just kind of has to find his confidence and understand what his role is. I think he's still a little confused on what's going on over there. So, you know, like I said, it's going to be a very interesting time. I think this year was one of the Warriors' weaker benches, and that's not knocking anybody. Just from their championship runs in the past, their benches have always been a lot stronger. So it was, you know, kind of the only knock they had on the team this year. But even with that said, when Kerr gave those guys a chance in the playoffs after not playing for a while, everyone stepped up and played well. So it'll be interesting to see if they can attract any other, you know, scoring off the bench and some other weapons that they can really depend on for next season.
Matt Barnes with us on 95.7 The Game. I know you're tight with Boogie Cousins. What's he thinking right now? He had a deep, well, for him, he got to, you know, as close as you can get to winning the ring. He got into the finals. He had had all those years of struggle in Sacramento of not making it to the playoffs. He had a little adversity that he got through. What's Boogie looking at in the offseason? What are, you know, what's he feeling right now?
I'm sure frustration. Actually, I just talked to him. We had a brief chat yesterday about Happy Father's Day. But probably frustration at this point. You know, you similar to what I fought my whole career to get into a position to win a championship. Obviously not on his level. But, you know, going into the playoffs the year we won the championship in 17, I almost broke my ankle, so I didn't really get a chance to play in the playoffs. Luckily, we ended up winning. He played, got hurt, fought through adversity, came back and lost. So it's an interesting time for him. As far as free agency too, you know, do you take another small amount of money and go back there and try to battle? Do you look to go elsewhere? It'll be an interesting summer for him, but you know, just kind of take a step back and realized, you know, he had a hell of a comeback overall, and to be able to put himself in position to be a contributor after everything that happened, not only during the playoffs, but last season, and then in the playoffs at the beginning, and to be able to be on the floor in the finals. It's really hats off to him to show how hard he worked and how bad he wanted to be out there. So I think all these guys are just going to, you know, obviously not happy with the outcome, but to sit back, reevaluate everything, you know, exhale and enjoy the summer and decide what they want to do next year.
Matt Barnes joining us here on 95.7 The Game. What'd you make of the news regarding the Lakers and that mega blockbuster trade for Anthony Davis over the weekend?
It's an interesting situation. I think this trade worked out better than the previous trade. I thought the Lakers were giving up too much in the last go-around. I think that it's unfortunate from a standpoint of I really like Ingram and Lonzo, but the Laker fan base and the organization are not really in a development stage. You know, they're all money in now with LeBron and knowing that the time is the clock is ticking with him. So they need to do everything they can to put a team around him. But to go back to those young players, I think both those guys are potential all-stars. But, you know, a fresh start in a new place can really help them. As far as the Lakers getting AD, that's a big move. And, you know, with all the dysfunction going on in the front office, it was surprising that it got pulled off. And I think now that they do have AD, they possibly have a chance to get another superstar of free agency now. I thought people would be too scared to go there just by themselves, knowing all the BS that happened last year and what the team went through. But I think with AD going there, they have a chance to get someone else there or to keep Kuzma. I'm a Laker fan at heart. You know, Lakers and Warriors are my two now that I'm done playing them are the teams I cheer for and stand behind. So I hope something can come of it. But I definitely think that, you know, AD and LeBron is a great start. Kuzma is a great start. And if they can grab one more player, they're really going to be, you know, a serious team to contend with in the playoffs.
And the Lakers are always good. And when the Lakers are good, the NBA is always more interesting when the Lakers have a competitive team. When you look at the New Orleans Pelicans with Zion Williamson likely going to be their pick at number one, and then they get to choose at number four, do they suddenly become a playoff team next year?
They possibly can. You know, the West is wild, and it's hard to say. That's going to be a very young, exciting team. You know, to see who else they get at the fourth pick. You know, they have pretty much a young Laker team now, you know, with all the stars. I think Julius Randle just opted out. But they have a lot of talent over there. So it'll be interesting to see how long it takes most guys to gel to get their chemistry down. But I definitely think they're going to be a fun team to watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, NBA champion and former Golden State Warrior, the great Matt Barnes, kind enough to join us here on the Dial Pad guest line. Matt, it's always a pleasure getting your thoughts. Thanks so much for coming on the show today. We greatly appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
Matt Barnes, ladies and gentlemen. Very even keel. I always notice that. That's one of the things I love because the opposite of even keel. So when you come across the people who, no matter if they're talking about something they're emotional about, something they're not emotional about, just they keep it nice and calm right across. I've always found that. I've always admired that about him.
It belies his on-court nature, Jim, because I remember him as a player, very fiery, very in-your-face, physical, never backing down from confrontation, didn't really play in an even-keeled way.
No, a bit of an S disturber.
The guy. And that's a compliment.
Yeah, exactly. He's the guy you hated.
Is it an S stir?
No, it's an S disturber. You're a stuff disturber.
You can be both. Yeah. But he was the guy that
an
you hated.
Esther? You stir the pot, and you disturb the blank. So I'm with you, Jim.
Thank you.
Same church, same pew.
As if lower
Amen.
Here.
Yeah.
Well, same I was trying seat. To eat during that
While
interview, too.
Why don't you commit all the way to the seat?
Because it's not, nobody wants to, you know, that image. It's something funny about, you know, me sitting on Lowe's lap or Lowe sitting on my lap. Just a couple of white parishioners hanging out. Nobody cares about
I thought,
that.
I don't know, you were working on Lowe's toes earlier with this seat, weren't you?
Was
you've
that
a history, you've got a history with this seat, if I recall.
I got something to transition.
Wrong seat.
Do you know what today is? I've just been informed, and I'm devastated that personally I did not remember this, that my alarm did not go off. 25 years ago today, the famous white Bronco chased down the freeway.
Was that seriously? Today's the day?
No, Jim, just made it up.
No,
surprise.
I thought it was earlier. I thought it was like a week and a half ago.
No, that was the
occurrence. That's what happened.
The incident.
The crime.
Yeah.
The crime was last week.
Okay.
But then after the crime is when OJ had the flea.
Yep.
And that's what 25 years ago tonight is. So what? Tonight was Knicks Rockets.
Yes.
And you had Arnold Palmer coming off the, was it the U.S. Open? Who was the, there was all this was happening at the same time in New York City. It was, I think the Rangers were chasing down the Stanley Cup. There was the parade. Mm-hmm. There was a 30 for 30 about this. Everything that was happening in New York. The Rangers had won the title. Messier delivered. You had the Knicks taking on the Rockets. You had, I think it was Arnold Palmer was in contention at the U.S. Open. So that was like a major story. It may not have been Palmer, but it was one of the old legends.
Is it Oakmont, 1994? Ernie Els won after Colin Montgomery was eliminated. Maybe it was old Monty. That probably doesn't ring the same bell, but...
Was Arnold Palmer surging? Do we have any details on that? Because this whole 30 for 30 was about like five different categories. And golf
was Palmer's last, is what it was.
Okay.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
Arnold
Palmer's last. You had the Knicks taking on the Rockets. Messier had delivered the Stanley Cup. And then you had OJ. And you had this all this taking place. So it goes back. There was a 30 for 30 on this specific day because obviously it wasn't a weekend night. So the U.S. Open was over, but it was still a major story. And I think it was the parade for the Stanley Cup final was taking place. But all this was happening. And then this guy in his white Ford Bronco steals the scene. I was living on the East Coast. I was 13. I remember it's June, so like you're out of school. We were swimming, and the parents were like riveted by this.
Sure.
And the kids are like, what's happening? So you come in and you start watching it. This went so long into the night. Like for you guys, obviously growing up here, it's perfect primetime viewing. But like that got to midnight or later on the East Coast. I remember shutting it down at some point.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I can't wait all night for this guy to make his decision. You getting out of the Jeep or you're not? You going to deliver some food there at some point? You got to be hungry.
I was close to you. I was in a restaurant in Philadelphia at that point.
That when you were calling Sixers games?
Yeah, I was
games?
Calling Sixers games. Woo-hoo! I was in a restaurant in Philadelphia.
It's
and we went to watch
the
finals.
Sixers,
I know. Believe me.
Who's on that team? Spoon?
Clarence Weatherspoon, first round pick. He was actually good old number 35, might have been the best player on that team. I got hired the day Charles
first.
Barkley got traded. So Jeff Hornacek, Hersey Hawkins.
Oh, Hersey.
Tim Perry, Andrew Lang.
Oh, man. Man.
That's a team right
Those
there.
Those are the days.
Those are the days. You guys care to talk about my history anymore? Back to the Bronco chase. Yeah, I was in a restaurant in Philly, and we wanted to watch the game. You wanted to watch Knicks Rockets, and you end up, remember, it was two pictures.
This is the great debate. Dibs and I are on the opposite side of this. Dibs wanted the game. I wanted the chase. Which gets the big box and which gets the small box, in your opinion?
I was told, well, I remember the game being the bigger one. I wanted the game. And the
game
the
was in the smaller box because I called KRON at the time, the NBC affiliate here in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I was living on 16th and Vicente. Mm-hmm. Shout out my buddy Kenny. We were watching the game on TV, and they had the game in the small box. And back then, you didn't have these 80-inch TVs. You had a regular size set, like a 19-inch television, for God's sake. That was the industry standard.
Yep.
So you couldn't see the game in the little box. So I called the TV station about 20 times consecutively.
Seems a bit
them,
excessive.
Yeah, I would have kept going, but then they hung up the line, so I couldn't call anymore. Because I said, put the game in the big box, you imbeciles. I can see OJ in the small box just fine.
Yeah.
First of all, you get thousands of basketball games a year, and you get the NBA Finals every year. It's a regular occurrence. This is Halley's Comet.
No, it's not, Joe.
How many? Okay.
A guy driving a white Bronco on an LA freeway is Halley's Comet?
Is that how you define that? Is that how you define it? A guy driving a white Bronco or Al Cowlings driving O.J. Simpson, escaped convict not escape convict,
hadn't
but
been a con
fleeing
yet.
From whatever. That's a little fleeing bit different felon. Than just an average guy in a white Bronco.
It is if it's compelling. If this white Bronco is careening across all lanes, if you're going 31 miles an hour with your flashers on in the slow lane, it is not compelling television. When I've got Hakeem Olajuwon,
I gotta disagree with
the
you.
Knicks
it's
go
extremely
for their first title
compelling television.
In a generation.
How often yes. are you going to find millions of people staring at a car going that slow down a freeway? Now, people watch NASCAR and F1 and the Indy series and all that stuff. People were sitting there. You had millions of people watching a white Bronco go 40 miles an hour down the highway. That is, in no other situation on planet Earth is anyone ever going to be compelled to do that.
People
ever.
In L.A. pulled over, who were on the road, pulled over to watch it happen. People were just standing on the side
they're
waiting
the overpass,
to see it.
They're
on the overpass.
Crazy,
was this the first reality show, really, in all honesty, when you look back on it? That was like the first reality show ever, basically?
I have to believe the real world was in play back then.
Was it at 94?
The real world's been around forever.
I feel like it was later, a little bit, like 97, 98.
Either way,
if
Dan,
only
I'm with
there
you,
was a device that we could ask questions.
I can't type that back.
Well, I'm saying there's 40 of us here. Someone could look that up for you, and then we could get the answer to that. That's what I'm getting
That's
at.
Correct.
Which was first? What if everyone's voting, what was first? The first Real World or O.J.'s Chase?
First Real World.
Yeah, not even close, yeah.
How convinced?
I wouldn't prison bet it, but I would definitely say
just
so.
Just curious.
I'm pretty confident. 1990, I believe.
Thank you back
Real
there.
World.
It's nice that the B squad's in there being able to do better stuff than the A squad's
with the
doing.
Twos. Way to go,
Thank
twos.
You. 92 was the first Real World.
Yeah. Boom. 92. Way to go, twos.
The twos finally got a bucket, much like Kobe Bryant. Volume shooter back there with his drop, but very rarely does he actually get one to go in the bucket. Thank you, Joey Spumoni.
So you maintain, and this isn't even Jordan's Bulls because he had taken a time off, so this was the de facto, we'll name a champion because Jordan's no longer playing. Rockets, Knicks should have been in the big
Knicks,
box.
Absolutely. This was Pat Riley and Patrick Ewing and New York going for its first title in a generation against a team that would eventually go on to win back-to-back titles.
Yes.
I contended then, and I contend now, that the chase would have been just fine in the lower box because you can't tell what's going on in the basketball game in that same way. They should have flipped it.
I'm with you.
And I'll call Kron again, darn it, if I have to. If only they were relevant now as a station.
25 years ago
which
today.
They're not. I don't care, Anna.
Ooh.
I'm not on their payroll. Shots fired. You bet your sweet patooties.
Hey. One of the best tweets to come out from the weekend with OJ now on Twitter. Is one of his videos. He comes out and he says, "Hey, Twitter world," and he does this whole thing, and then he makes a comment of he just wants to thank all of his new followers. I want to thank all my new followers on Twitter, this and that. And someone retweets the video with a GIF of the Bronco chase, and it says, "Don't forget all your original followers," and it shows the police chase him down the highway. Oh, man, it's still this. I don't know. If I live another 40 or 50 years, I don't know if I'll ever come across a story like that ever again with everything that came together. We were talking about this with our producer, John Curley, this morning. Younger guy, so going through all this,
right.
the memory is probably a little bit hazier, but everything that came into play here. We're not just talking like Ray Carruth. Okay, people didn't really know who Ray Carruth was. OJ was the top of the mountain, right? Top of the mountain. He had crossed all types of boundaries. He had appealed to so many different people. This crime happens in a luxurious part of the world, so there's always more intrigue with something like that because it's not supposed to happen there. There's the chase. There's, again, it's like the NBA Finals. People are watching this. It gets flipped around. Everything that takes place throughout, it's this crazy time in Los Angeles. You had, we were talking about this morning, the Rodney King situation obviously had taken place. L.A. was super charged up about everything. You bring in this jury. You have this celebrity team of lawyers. Everything about it. And then the outcome. If the outcome is guilty and he goes away, it's totally different the way it's remembered. It's just done. It's, wow, that was a big story. But it just kept going with life when he's found not guilty, because now you're following, where's he going to go? What's this guy going to do with the rest of his life? Then there's the Vegas burglary thing. Then he's in prison. Now he's out of prison. Now he's in Vegas. He's like a celebrity. He's showing up everywhere. Not the Cosmo. They banned him.
Right.
But, not the only place.
Yeah.
The whole thing is so fascinating when you look back, Jim, as we sit now where everything is televised, everything is scrutinized. This was pre-internet. I know the internet existed, but nobody had it. And this was the first time that I remember that they had actual live court TV where they would broadcast.
Right.
And I was telling John Curley, our young producer, they would have pregame shows basically where the news people would say, "What do you expect today from day 9 of the case?" and then they'd show you the case live, and then after the day's proceedings would be over, there'd be the post game out on the curb as well with hundreds of global media. That was really the start of this era where we scrutinize every single thing.
Greta Van Susteren and online too.
Good call.
Did she make her career? Yeah.
Where did Nancy? What's her name?
Nancy Grace.
Where'd she
was
break
also
from?
Part of? Was that hers or was it the Lacey?
I want to say she was Peterman.
Yeah. She might have been Peterman.
Peterson.
Yes.
Lacey Peterson, Scott Peterson, Jay Peterman from Seinfeld.
Yes.
Lacey Peterson.
Correct.
Who was murdered by Scott Peterson, who's in jail or still in prison up here, right?
Yeah, he's in San Quentin.
In the queue. Yeah.
In the queue?
San Quentin.
Still hasn't, no
not
one's
on
done
the basketball
interview with
team.
Him.
He's on death row.
He's not allowed, he's not allowed to play in that basketball game that the Warriors have up there. I haven't seen him in that.
Hmm.
Also, here comes the text line again with the whole GIF thing.
Oh, boy.
The creator came out a couple years ago. He said it's GIF. Stop fighting me on this. If you don't like the way I pronounce Mariners, which a lot of you got on earlier, you can get on that all you want. But it is GIF. It is GIF. The guy who created it said that.
What about the Cincinnati
football
team?
Educate the billions. Bengals.
Okay.
And if you don't agree with that, that's fine too. I understand that you don't like the way that's pronounced. The GIF thing, though, is factual. That's not a choice. It's not a, well, I'm from here, so I say pop rather than soda. That's not a choice. The guy who created it said it's GIF. So if you say GIF, it's wrong. You don't have to agree with it, but he's the guy who invented it. We're not just going to start calling the computer company down the street Appel because we feel that that's a better way to pronounce it. It's Apple. That's how they created it.
Shout out Jane Appel, Mark's sister. We don't want to shout out Mark because he didn't make
Jane
much.
Had a better career.
Jane had a phenomenal career.
Yes.
As a 6'5 center at Stanford.
Mark burned the Phillies, so sorry. Not going to be a whole lot of complimentary. Just round of applause for trying hard.
Sure. Mark's a local kid. This didn't work out for him.
Twice.
The check's still cash, though, from what I understand, right?
Yes.
Just want to make sure. All right. Less OJ, Anthony Davis, all that brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. Here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
All right, thanks, Joe. Well, we're reacting to the big news from over the weekend. The Pelicans traded Anthony Davis to the Lakers in New Orleans. In return, received Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, and 3 first-round picks, including this year's number 4 overall pick. Who won the trade, and how does this impact what's going to be a Wild West, specifically the Warriors? How will the dominoes fall in free agency? The Dubs offseason is going to be a busy one. Who will stay and who will go? Well, for the latest, ESPN's Mark Spears and the Mercury News, Mark Medina will join the Dame Ruth Show today for a Warriors roundtable from 4 to 6 p.m. And some news from the tank. Eric Carlson will reportedly stay with the Sharks on an 8-year, $88 million deal. This update is sponsored by Smart & Final. From groceries to club sizes, Smart & Final has everything you need for summer savings in one stop, plus the lowest prices in the neighborhood. Up still to come, bet 162, and the Giants are in L.A., so it's going to be a good one. I'm Anna Kagarakis on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
The news of the weekend was as follows. The Los Angeles Lakers have acquired 3-time All-NBA forward Anthony Davis in exchange for an insane package. Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Josh Hart are all headed to New Orleans. So is the number 4 pick in Thursday's draft. So is a 2021 first rounder if it's in the top 8. If it's not, it will become an unprotected pick the following year in 2022. In 2023, New Orleans will have the opportunity to swap first round picks with LA if LA has the better pick. And in 2024, they're also picking up a first round unprotected pick that New Orleans can defer to 2025 if they feel that will be better. So all in all, it's 3 players, 3 first-round picks, and a pick swap. If you have to pick a winner, a loser, or you can say they both came away winners or losers, Dibs, which direction are you going?
I think New Orleans won because of the bounty of picks, plus you've got some good young players ready to roll. Brandon Ingram will be better under a new circumstance. He was clearly suffocating under LeBron James. I think Lonzo Ball can still be a significantly good player, maybe not an all-NBA player like Anthony Davis. He's a good defensive guard. He's a solid player. And then you start stacking the picks they got, including number 4 this year, and what appears to be a pretty deep draft. I like what New Orleans has done. David Griffin has done very well to position this team for a quick rebuild, and I think New Orleans got the better end of it.
Do you agree, Coase?
Let me say it's possible for it to be a win-win, but right now you have to go with the group that got the best player. That's who wins trades. And the best player is the Brow. He is NBA now. He is NBA steady. He is an all-star. It's hands down who won it. If it's one versus the other, you have to give it to the Los Angeles Lakers. They have got a player who they can ride for the next 5 years, if they re-sign him, can ride him for the next 5 years, and he will help them at least get into the playoffs. For New Orleans, you better hope number four works for you. You better hope those later picks work for you. And the jury's still out on the guys you receive from the Los Angeles Lakers, who, by the way, didn't get you the playoffs when they were with the Lakers. Don't know what makes you think they're going to be better in a Pelicans uniform. I say the Lakers win this hands down.
You got to figure if you're the Pelicans and everyone knows Anthony Davis doesn't want to play for you and everyone knows Anthony Davis wants to go to the Lakers and that no matter what, in 1 year's time when he's a free agent, he's gone, you're not in the most enviable of situations. This is the one thing NBA players tend to do that I think works against them. Kyrie Irving did this with Cleveland as well. Like, they want to force their way out so they go public too soon and they jeopardize the leverage for the team. Like, speak to the team privately and say, look, I want out. And I'm going to make this public, which is going to hurt you unless you get moving on it. That would generally be a better fit for the team. But whatever, there's bad blood and teams move on. So for the Pelicans, you're doing the one thing you never did for Anthony Davis, and that's putting a competent team around him. Like, Zion Williamson is going to join this team Thursday, and he's going to have some decent players surrounding him.
Can I push back on that a little
bit? Sure.
Because Anthony Davis, they kept trying to put guys around him, whether it was DeMarcus Cousins at one time. There was Holiday as his guard. They went out and got Mirotić from the Bulls that spread the floor a little bit more for the guy. I do think they tried to put guys around him. I just think at some point he said, I don't want to play in New Orleans. That's my belief, and we could say that they always put a crappy team around him. That's like saying they always put a crappy team around LeBron in Cleveland, which I push back on that as well. But I don't think it's as easy as to say that they had never had guys around him.
I think when you look at the organization with Demps as the GM, they didn't do right by DeMarcus Cousins, and I don't think they were doing right by Anthony Davis. No, I don't believe they did. I think that they could have offered him an extension, and once he had the injury, they definitely pulled it off the table as quick as you possibly could. And you can say Mirotić, he's a nice piece. He's a decent player. He's not really the kind of guy you could really look at and say, wow, New Orleans is ready to make a big run now.
It's a small market. So I agree with part of what you're saying. If I'm AD, I've given you several years, and the team around me is not good enough to be a serious contender. So maybe you tried. And maybe we'd be willing to give you the benefit of the doubt, but your marketability plus your lifestyle. And this isn't a knock on New Orleans. People love New Orleans. Maybe he didn't, but this is the big problem that a lot of teams are faced with. This is the marquee reason why the Buffalo Bills never compete. No free agent worth a damn wants to live in Buffalo. And I know my wife hates to hear that, but it is not conducive to a young mid-20 athlete with millions of dollars. Those guys would rather be in L.A., in New York, in the Bay. If they're going to sacrifice, they're going to do it for rings in New England or some other places, right? Some of these markets are just at a major disadvantage. It's why they had to pay Mario Williams all that money to come there. You have to significantly overpay free agents to get them to come to your team when you're in Buffalo. In the NFL, the NBA, this is, I think, going to be a problem for Milwaukee with Giannis down the road. I think eventually Giannis is going to look around and think, New York, L.A., all these other teams out there. And then let's figure in the guys who might not even put winning as a priority. Miami is extremely alluring. To go down there and hang out on South Beach, get the superstar treatment all the way across, no state tax in Florida, it's tough. It's really tough. So in New Orleans, hopefully here you're going to be able to create a window, because the worst thing about the lottery for me, and as much as I hate the Knicks, I wanted Zion to be a Knick. Put him in New York City, make the team marketable again. The NBA is just better when the Knicks and the Lakers, or at least one of them, is relevant. That's what you want. It's not a knock on the Warriors or anything else. Nobody cares about basketball in Houston. Like, we saw this firsthand. We talked to guys who do radio down there. It's just not that big of a sports town. If the Bulls are great, that's a sports town that gets behind it. Philadelphia, New York, Boston, the Bay Area. But by and large, man, some of these guys, they end up in certain places and they realize they could be making a hell of a lot more money if they can do appearances in L.A. Like, think about the parties you get to in L.A., the things you get to be a part of, all the projects that are thrown on your table. One of the allures here is that you probably have nonstop pitches from startups that want your money to invest. I mean, that's got to be very alluring here versus what are you going to do in Detroit? cross the border to bring back Cuban cigars from Windsor?
Right. Indiana and Memphis, Minnesota. You can go to so many markets where that's a problem. And I think this is ultimately the NBA's biggest problem. And they tried to fix that with the Max and the Supermax system, saying, hey, we're going to give you a way to keep your guys. You can give them an extra year and all this extra money. But what we're discovering is that the players, they value their own freedom more than they value an extra 30 or 40 million.
It's not just that. Everyone's found the workaround. The workaround is, well, I'm demanding a trade. Like that max money only comes with the team that has your rights. So if you end up leaving in free agency, what that did was deter you to leave in free agency. But now you'll just force your way out with a year to go so that the contract transfers over and then boom, right? Durant left in free agency. He had to build it back up. Chris Paul got the max in Houston. Why? They traded. They traded for him. Those rights, that whole part's huge.
The way it's laid out, are we only going to see great teams in the state of California because the weather's good? Great teams in Florida because the weather's good and there's no state tax? Great teams in Texas because there's no state tax? And then everyone else is just going to be left barren? New York, you can argue because it's the media mecca of the globe. But other than that, I mean, Philadelphia, if you strike gold for a little bit, they'll be good.
Or if you have a situation like LeBron James wanting to go home again, somebody from a smaller place who decides they want to make that happen in a smaller place.
Yeah. Or level of competence. See, what you're throwing out there is predicated on the level of competence amongst all decision makers being the same. You can go to great big cities and find idiots. The Knicks are a perfect example. You can go to small markets and find geniuses. The A's did this for a while. The Twins, the Tampa Bay Rays, those are small market clubs that are finding ways to game the system. So you're going to find the outliers because the level of competence amongst the decision makers is not equal across the board. But if you take competence, you combine it with money and an alluring spot to live, that's a juggernaut.
Are the Utah Jazz the NBA version of the Tampa Bay Rays or the Minnesota Twins? Because they are different
sports.
Or the Buffalo Bills, where they are successful. The Jazz are successful. They've got smart people running their operation. They're never going to be able to sign a free agent to come there.
Right.
They're going to have to be creative or draft well. That's it.
Exactly. I mean, there was Malone and Stockton, and then what after that? Who's the most marquee of Jazz players in the era between then and now?
They had the who's the other guard taken the year Chris Paul was taken from Illinois? Yeah. The guard needs
Derek
out of
Williams.
The game. Derek Williams.
Yeah,
was
that
one.
Was when Illinois had the three guards.
Yes, exactly. Derek or Darren? Darren Williams. Either
Darren
way.
Darren Williams.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, sorry
matter.
About that.
Either
good
way.
Call.
We're close. We're in the same neighborhood.
Derek Williams was the first round player out of Arizona who was a bust.
Yes.
Super bust.
I think there were a few Derek Williams, believe it or not.
It took the Jazz a while. Williams was the star. He's the guy who actually pushed Jerry Sloan out of the game. And then it took them a while to gain their feet. And eventually, under this group, they're now successful. They've drafted really well, and they've made tactical moves. They were successful after they lost. Who's the guy who went to Boston?
That was Gordon Hayward.
Gordon Hayward. Everyone thought they were going to fall off the platform. They didn't fall off the platform.
So where's Donovan Mitchell going when he's a free agent?
Do you think that happens?
The conversation should already be beginning in Salt Lake City. Where is he eventually going to go? Because if you have a choice, like Joe says, the three things you're looking for is stability. You're looking for a big market, marketability, and a chance to win. And if you're in Utah, you've got good stability. You have a good organization, but you're in Salt Lake City, which is probably not the most fun place to be if you're a young NBA star. And what sort of a chance do you really have to be an NBA champion? Not great.
You have to do the only other team that would serve as the example would be Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. And you have to just go buck wild when it comes to the luxury tax. You have to pay above and beyond. You have to pay the premium, right? That's just how it works. If you want to compete with the big boys, you have to go so deep into the luxury tax on all your signings. And even then, what did you do? You kept Westbrook and you let the two better players, Harden and Durant, get away.
That's the thing, is what if they would have had that same vision of, you know, like Joey Lightyears, and I know you're going to have the t-shirt, but if they would have decided, you know what, we're going to pay all three of these guys because we're going to own their bird rights, we're going to max out all three, where would OKC be now? Other than maybe in the poorhouse, how many chips would they have if they had Durant, Westbrook, and Harden all together?
If you're going over under a half, I'm betting the over. I'm betting they get at least one somewhere along the way. Then maybe there's some infighting because Harden now seems to be having a problem with Chris Paul and Russ had the problem with KD. So you figure, I'm not sure if they all could have coexisted, but I think long enough to win at least one. That was just when Harden was emerging. So if you really figure out what you have on your hands with Harden, at the same time when you already know what you have with KD and Russ, think about the different lineups you could deploy with those three. right? If you could just get Russ to facilitate a little bit more, just a little bit more, take fewer shots, but use that explosion to become the best assist man in the game. I mean, think about when he drives to the rack, the shots he could create by kicking it out to Durant or Harden. Especially Harden. Harden getting wide open looks, not having to create for himself. The guy would be unbelievable.
It would be an interesting team to watch. But now if we, you know, move back into the reality because they are separated, let's stay with Harden. All the mess that's going on in Houston right now, you still think they're going to be a playoff team, even though they try to, they're thinking about breaking it up. That means Capella's on the table. That means Chris Paul's on the, who wants Chris Paul's money?
They right now are ripe for a locker room issue that derails their season. Now, whether that's enough to keep them out of the playoffs is one thing, but I don't see them as one of the elite contenders during the regular season next year, like they've been the last few seasons. That's right. Where I'd project it now. However, it depends on how things are going to play out with a couple key decisions. Number one, the rumors are already circulating that they're going to make a strong play for Jimmy Butler. Now, you get Jimmy Butler in the mix down there, suddenly I'm not going to be as excited about talking about them missing the playoffs. Number two, I'm trying to figure out what their plan is with the coach. It was like them and D'Antoni were talking, then D'Antoni walked away from the table, and that looked messy, and then the Warriors fell apart, and they got D'Antoni back to the table because I think they sense they have an opportunity. But that's only if they patch up the Chris Paul, James Harden situation. Tim McMahon from ESPN has this story today. It seems like those two are not getting along. Like, Paul wants to be kind of the leader and the coach of the team, and Harden's thinking, you're not better than me. You can't create your own shot. Why don't you just sit back and let me do my thing?
Isn't that what he is, though? I mean, he left Oklahoma City, I don't know, good or bad terms. Goes to Houston. From what I understand, wasn't the greatest teammate in the world. Remember when he got Dwight Howard to go there? Well, then it didn't take very long for Dwight Howard and him to have a falling out.
Remember when they thought they had the trade and it got announced and then there was a flaw, so all like six teams involved had to send the players back and Howard had to know he was on the block and moved and then he's coming back in the locker room?
Yeah.
I'm sure that was a welcoming situation.
Good Lord. But with Harden, I wonder if he might be he's the guy who's the issue and you're not going to get rid of him.
He's not an alpha. That's the difference. He's a great scorer, and he wants to be the face of the NBA, but he's not an alpha. Steph's an alpha, and it doesn't require you to be super loud and vocal, but you need to command the leadership presence. Steph does that. Durant can do that. As much as people hate him, LeBron does it. Giannis does it. And there are a bunch of other guys, too, right? But those are the alphas. The alphas are the guys that not only produce at a high level, they can lead and set the tone by a high level. Harden can't do that. Harden's not that guy. Harden can score, but then in the big spots, he kind of wilts. And he's not there. He can't figure out how to rally the troops. Every time you've needed him to rally the troops, what does he do? He's not there. He doesn't want to be that guy. He sends every possible message to you that he doesn't want to be that guy. He's not going to give you a Jordan flu game because he's not Jordan. He is a great scorer, a prolific scorer. He's built for the regular season. But in those big moments, a lot of guys wilt. But when he wilts, it's completely different. There's that complete meltdown around him. Steph can have bad games, and the team can still find a way to rally. LeBron's had bad games. Kyrie's picked him up. Harden wilts, and you just kind of feel the whole thing sink around him because no one's sure what to do. He's not a great communicator. He's not the type of guy that all of a sudden starts trying to facilitate. He just keeps jacking up ill-advised shot after ill-advised shot. His legs are gone, and the team dies and just says, well, I mean, this is the guy that got us here, so I guess that's the way we should go out.
And there's only one real way he can beat you, and that's by scoring the basketball. There's a sense of other players, transcendent players, like you say, alphas, where if their shot's not going, Steph Curry, if he's not able to shoot or if he's getting double-teamed, he can still distribute a little bit on the offensive end. James Harden, it's basically scoring or bust. And I'm fascinated to see what Houston does because you got to see an opening now with the Warriors losing KD and Klay Thompson basically for next year, no matter if they sign or not. The Warriors are vulnerable, and as much as L.A., the Lakers have taken a big step forward, there's definitely a void now at the top of the West.
Got to get rid of Chris Paul. His game is not getting any better. That's
$40 million?
I mean, how does it work in the NBA? Can you move him and eat a ton of that salary, or do you
Not like baseball. Is that what you're talking about?
Encarnacion, the Yankees eat some, the Mariners eat some. If you move him, someone needs to be willing to just take on that deal. Good God.
The Knicks, when they come up dry, and then they roll out Chris Paul and Boogie Cousins as their big tandem, Right? Is that inconceivable?
It's so conceivable. Yeah. It makes me want to throw up.
Exactly. When Brooklyn
because
gets
as you
Kyrie,
lay that out, I'm sitting there going, "Geez, Coz, that's
you could easily see geez. That happening."
I don't know though, Coz, because Chris Paul's making 38.5 this year. Next year he'll make 41.35. But wait, there's more. Like the old Ginsu commercials.
Yes.
You also get this handy paring
knife.
Could
top this? Liz.
Yes. But wait, there's more. In the third year, he has a player option, which I would imagine he would want to opt in for $44.2 million. Mm. So if you're the Knicks, can you really afford to take on 79? That's 125 milski for a guy who's getting close to being washed.
Dude, that Paul contract's going to go down as one of the worst of all time.
Paul or Wall, which one would you rather have? Because the John Wall,
you know what?
Paul
I'd rather
Wall.
Have Chris Wall. Paul.
I will. Well,
I'd rather have Chris Paul.
Because the Wall is what four
it hasn't
years
even started yet.
No,
it starts this year, right?
The extension hasn't even started.
No.
They tried to move him before the extension actually started. He's going to be making over $40 million a year.
Yeah, and that was a
and
bad...
he's done nothing.
Nope. And that was bad because he was hurt, had surgery, was scheduled to come back in a certain amount of time, call it 9 months. Then re-injured it as he slipped on something in his home and tore his Achilles.
Oh.
So he's out for like 18 months now. So it's going to be even worse.
Jeez, that's Mount Bad.
Four-year, $170 million.
Yeah.
It hasn't started yet, and the dude can't walk.
And then they have Bradley Beal they have to re-sign, also who had a pretty darn good year. So,
how many years are left on Paul's deal?
Only three.
And Wall's,
two
Wall's,
of the option.
Two of the player.
It's two of the player, but you know he's opting in for 44.
Yeah,
you got to be bleeping me.
Right.
I think as much as you'd hate to say it, you'd rather have the Chris Paul deal if you're going to be eating a contract
out
of John
Wall.
They're both awful. Yeah. They're both extremely lucrative. Whatever just gets you done faster.
Yeah.
Although, let me ask you, who would be easier to move?
Probably John Wall.
Someone out there might be willing to take on John Wall. That's the type of guy the Knicks could possibly get behind. He's still young.
Think about that.
Now I'm actually starting to think I'd rather have John Wall just because I could trade him easier than Chris Paul.
And he does have more life left in his career, assuming he's able to come back from the Achilles tendon.
If I'm just using the Knicks as an example in this with those two guys. The Knicks have told their fans we are getting two guys. They've got to come away with this year getting two guys. And John Wall, if he's one of those guys, he's not coming for another year and a half.
It's going to be like Major League Two when Dorn tries to sell it on. He traded for a big-time left fielder, and they think it's Barry Bonds, and it's not. It's the guy from the Tokyo Giants.
Exactly. No, it's an interesting conundrum. But the Knicks, I think this offseason is going to be wild, and I think about the West, did the Lakers just take over the Warriors slot? No one wanted to compete with the Warriors in the Western Conference. Daryl Morey said he went to bed thinking about it, but that's the only group. Everyone else knew the Warriors were coming out. Did the Lakers supplant them already, or is it a Wild West? Everyone's going to be shooting their guns off trying to... It's an arms race in the West now. The West is wide open.
I think it's wild. That's what Matt Barnes said when he joined us earlier this hour. He said the West is just absolutely wild. Even if you say the Lakers are the, quote, best team in the West right now... I don't think you slot them in for 60 wins. It's going to be pretty competitive.
You don't get to be the best without doing anything. They've done literally nothing. They haven't taken the court yet. They haven't even finalized the trade yet. You do not get that credit just yet. Now, that doesn't mean the Warriors are on top, but you're not going to sit here and say the Lakers are the best without having done anything yet.
I agree. But I think it's going to be a wild west. And I it's just like last year. Remember when LeBron signed with the Lakers? It took a while. But how many Eastern teams decided to go for it at that point? Because they knew prior to that, Boston ran up against LeBron and lost. How many times did Toronto run up against LeBron and lost? Finally, LeBron is gone. Everyone in the East did it. Philly, Boston, Toronto. Everyone made a run. Western Conference might be what the East was last year.
How many people, when LeBron signed with the Lakers, picked them, A, to appear in the Western Conference Finals, B, to be a top four playoff team, and C, to just make the playoffs in general?
Most people.
There's a lot of that out there, and see how that turned out?
Yeah.
So, you know, the Anthony Davis trade looks good, but they're going to have to figure some things out before we crown them.
Yeah.
All right, Bet 162. Nice little weekend. We are at an all-time high in terms of profitability, 69 games into the season. Currently, plus $434. We took two of three from the Brewers. It was Milwaukee minus 1.5 yesterday. That one got dicey. But again, betting against Samardzija leads to favorable results. We won on Saturday as well. Played the Giants in Bumgarner. That was a dicey game, but the Giants came back and had a nice little win. And then lost Friday night with Milwaukee. The Dodgers series starts today. It's Beedy versus Maeda.
best coach.
Yeah, this, there's nothing here to love. So it's going to be one unit minus 125. So I'm going to risk $125 to win $100 on the Dodgers minus 1.5. That's going to be the pick. Not a lot of confidence in this one. Not something to get super excited about, but got to make a pick for all of them. Lean to the over, but I see some money coming in on the under, so I was going to stay away from that. I didn't want to mess with anything in the first inning, so we're going to go Dodgers minus 1.5, minus 125 is the price, so 125 to win 100.
I love it. Good luck, Coach. Stay hot. You stay hot, Joe.
Stay hot, Joe.
Coach, you're back tomorrow?
Yes, that's what I'm told.
Same stuff. Steiny and Guru.
You probably didn't deserve the boot track. I'm sorry.
Wow. I thought you did a pretty nice job today.
He
you
did a great job.
On the way out the door when he can't come back and fight for himself.
I have to go. I have to fight with an insurance agent in a second, so I'm looking forward to that.
Appreciate you sharing that with us. I'm going to get my blood drawn later. Get my cholesterol checked. All right, Steiny and the Guru are coming in next. Guru is at odds. Not sure if he should follow O.J. Simpson on Twitter or if he should not follow O.J. Stay tuned to find out what the decision was. But that's it for us. For Dibs, Anna, and Coz, I'm Joe. Thanks for hanging out with us today, everyone. Greatly appreciate it. As always, we'll catch you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.